This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. As I have the bad, bad throat once again, this is Gun Owners News Hour. It's horrible. The previous, and I, you know, before I start out on this, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you got together. I hope you ate more than you needed to eat. Now, get back on the, you know, get back on the straight and narrow with that, but, you know. I hope it was a good, good day with family and whoever, whatever it meant to you, whatever you were looking for, I hope you found that in this past Thanksgiving. And I hope you stayed home on Black Friday. Black Friday starts, doesn't it start now sometime in August? Anyway, I digress. Because the unimaginable has happened. You see, one of the reasons that the leftists get out there and they think everything's cool, you know, it's all a man-made thing that's happening down on the border. You know, none of this is really real. You know, none of these things are really real. They're all illusions. Well, the storybook island of Martha's Vineyard, the seasonal home of billionaires and hundreds of elite cultural and political movers and shakers, not to mention one of the 3-year-round homes of the Obamas, has finally experienced that rarity previously limited to the mainland. In their terminology, violent gun crime. And surprise, the alleged perpetrators were not MAGA white nationalists. No, the evidence so far points to migrants, possibly of the illegal kind. And this is a bitter pill for most of the vineyard residents to swallow. The island has 6 towns. They've all declared themselves to be sanctuary communities. Last September, the island rallied, a.k.a. virtue signaled, around 50 illegal migrants who were flown there at the direction of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis before they were bussed and ferried off the island less than 2 days later. Last Thursday, November 17th, minutes after it opened for the day, a small bank on the island town of Vineyard Haven was invaded by 3 armed masked men. They threatened, subdued, and duct-taped the employees and proceeded to make off in a stolen car with an undetermined amount of cash after brandishing semi-automatic handguns to intimidate the bank personnel. That's never happened on Martha's Vineyard before. Previously, the crime rate on the small island off the southern coast of Massachusetts was almost non-existent, confined to things like DUIs and the occasional passing of a bad check. But now, like many other blue communities that have declared themselves to be sanctuaries for illegal aliens, things are a-changing. Many residents of the overwhelmingly Democrat Martha's Vineyard declare themselves to be abolitionists who subscribe to the critical race theory that the U.S. is a racist country that continues to require the abolition of systemic racism. On the island today, 2 years after the death of George Floyd and the radical transformations that followed, signs in Vineyard stores and even a huge permanent banner outside of a private home in Vineyard Haven, clearly in violation of local zoning laws, proclaim Black Lives Matter and migrants welcome here. This island-wide welcome mat has resulted in the presence of hundreds, if not thousands, of migrants who now seem to be close to outnumbering the American citizens, most of them working or middle class who reside year-round on the island. And this radical and sudden demographic shift has been largely ignored by the island's news media. A recent visit to Martha's Vineyard, which has a year-round population of about 20,000, illustrated the profound demographic changes taking place on the island. Making the rounds this fall at one of the island's 6 food markets, for example, a majority of the shoppers and even the store personnel were obviously recent migrants, virtually all of whom were not speaking English. Most of the immigrant couples in the store had several young children in tow, communicating with them in their native language. Presumably, all of these kids are now being educated in island schools at taxpayers' expense. And this observation stands in radical contrast to the situation on the vineyard, only 2 or 3 years ago when the population was overwhelmingly made up of English-speaking native-born Americans. For example, the Martha's Vineyard Commission, in a report published in 2019, put the white population on the island at 88.1%, black or African American 3.7%, and Hispanic or Latino 1.7%. These statistics have been turned on their head based on observations of the island earlier this month. As we know, increased, unregulated, illegal migration from third world countries is associated with rising crime rates. And now Martha's Vineyard appears to be no exception. In the past, Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama spent 7 of their 8 summer vacations during their times in office on the vineyard, which has helped establish the previously low-key destination as a world-renowned haven for the uber-elite and billionaires. The presence of those 2 influential leftists and their large media entourages and followers also served as a promotional magnet for people in the third world. During the past 2 decades on Martha's Vineyard, McMansions have gone up along with rents, and many who work on the island, including doctors, teachers, carpenters, and other tradesmen, can't afford to live there anymore, and they now have to commute round trip from and back to the mainland each day on one of the ferry boats. As the Boston Globe reported last September 24th in an article that challenged many of the myths about the lives on the vineyard, many of the 20,000 year-round residents struggle to make ends meet. Housing is desperately scarce and increasingly unaffordable. The growing number of immigrants is rapidly diversifying the population. The vineyard's average weekly wage is $1,094 in 2020, was 70% of the state average. And its median home price, now approaching $1.3 million, was more than double the state's, according to an assessment of the island's housing needs. So at Martha's Vineyard, the middle class is an endangered species, as is at Cape Cod. And in many ways, each island is a microcosm of life in the country as a whole, where the once thriving middle class has been replaced by impoverished migrants, while they're priced out by the newly wealthy. And it was catapulted into the national news when DeSantis arranged the transport of 50 migrants who had illegally crossed the wide-open southern border to Martha's Vineyard. The fact that the migrants were transported off the island within 48 hours obscured the fact that hundreds, if not thousands, of other migrants, legal and illegal, continue to populate the vineyard. So let's come back to today. Only one of the 3 reported bank robbers, allegedly the getaway driver, who was from Jamaica, has been arrested. News accounts have variously described him as undocumented and documented. The other alleged perps are still at large, and it will be interesting to see what, if any, penalties await the robbers if they're apprehended. The Boston Globe, which has been covering the story, reported in its Monday editions, as investigators searched for suspects in the violent armed robbery of a local bank branch continued, residents remained on edge and anxious for an end to the manhunt that has upended normal life. And it continued, the dramatic theft has left its mark on daily life. Obviously, people are on edge and upset this happened, said Molly Coogan, the owner of the Bunch of Grapes bookstore. The bank theft impacted hundreds of students and school staff. Buildings were locked down Thursday and classes ended early that day, according to Superintendent Richard Smith, who leads Martha's Vineyard Public Schools. Smith said there will be an added presence of police at school buildings. Some residents have made changes to their daily routines in the days after the theft. Stephen Engley, who works at the Mocha Matt's coffee shop, said Sunday afternoon that he started locking his doors. His wife is pregnant, and he's concerned for the safety of his growing family. Well, enjoy the wake-up call, Vineyard residents, because this is 2022. This is Joe Biden's transformed America. You embrace the transformation. You welcome the transformation, including the open borders and millions of illegal migrants flooding the country. Yes, everything is getting upended. It all spills out in the end. Once you stop the pot of boiling, sooner or later the water overflows the pot. Simply no way to escape that part of physics. So you asked for this and now you got it. Maybe you should start listening to my show or this show and start thinking about, hey, maybe I need to become a gun owner, a new gun owner, because obviously, oh, wait a minute, this is Massachusetts. I can't be a gun owner here. This is bad. Even though the Bruin decision said I could, they still want to restrict everything I do. Okay, fine. I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I have to move to Florida. Maybe you do. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned upon purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. 2022 was an election in which authoritarians employed every sort of disinformation. They ran on character while they engaged in corruption on a multi-trillion-dollar scale. They rolled out the old take your Social Security away from you fear-mongering for seniors. And then they stoked the fear of losing access to abortion when, in fact, the Supreme Court's reversal of Roe versus Wade returns this decision to whichever state you live in. And more bizarre yet, they attack conservatives as a threat to democracy, but the code word democracy in the progressive lexicon actually means more government control and less freedom. Donald Trump's not a threat to democracy. He's a threat to those who continually undermine freedom and democracy by limiting what you can say, read, listen to, discuss at work, here at church, and learn in school. Joe Biden used threat to democracy many times in the 2022 campaign, and in every case, it was not a threat to democracy he had in mind. It was a threat to his party's power, and with it, the enslavement of you. American person, American citizen, by big government. What democracy and freedom actually mean is the right of individuals to do as they like without regulation, restriction, or intimidation from government or other powerful institutions. That is the textbook, in the governmental sense, definition of freedom. Now, of course, there's always that little saying that goes, the truth actually depends on who's in power. So I don't know how that plays right now today. America was founded as the land of the free, and many generations have sacrificed to preserve the freedom, but the danger of losing their freedom was very much in the minds of our founders. And from the beginning, America was, as Franklin said, a republic, if you can keep it. Or Madison, we are right to take alarm at the first experiment upon our liberties. Or Jefferson, timid men prefer the calm of despotism to the tempestuous sea of liberty. We live in a moment in which there are daily experiments upon our liberty, and in which timid men, those who say they're tired of political division, do indeed prefer the calm of despotism to the tempestuous sea of liberty. The tempestuous sea of liberty means you have to be active. You're always active. You never have a break. There's never a moment of rest. This is life. This is life. And, you know, we live within a... You know, our bodies are a vessel of this. Your body never takes a break. It's constantly inhaling. Your heart's constantly beating. Your blood is constantly moving. There's never a moment when we come completely to rest until we're dead. And yet, we cannot live in that activist mindset. And as far as despotism, that's what we face in Biden's proposal to double the size of the IRS, and the political weaponization of the FBI, the COA, the DOE, all of these, and the amassing of information by technology giants, and the corporate surrender to woke ideologies, and the takeover of schools by progressive activists, and the proliferation of hate speech laws and the self-censorship that so many Americans practice to appease political correctness, and in the influence of media in our thinking. We live in an age of fear and conformity, and those who are weak have become enslaved and have willingly relinquished their freedom to the powerful forces of government, media, expert opinion, and corporate venality. And the practical effect of this can be seen everywhere. Rising taxes are used to transfer more and more of your earnings to government, where it is used with little accountability to enrich those who support ever greater government spending and make campaign donations to ensure this happens. U.S. federal spending in 1901 was $588 million. It remained at approximately this level until 1917, and especially 1919, when the overhang of wartime spending drove it to $5.13 billion. Spending cooled under the Republican administrations of Harding and Coolidge, but exploded under FDR to a height of $44 billion in 1945. You could expect that wartime number to decline, but by 1970 it was $1.59 billion. It reached $1 trillion in 1995 and is $6.27 trillion in 2022. Federal government spending has grown by a factor of nearly 11,000 over the past 120 years, and it continues growing exponentially. There's only one possible outcome: government consumption of nearly all income and control of nearly all economic and personal activity. And that is the definition of what Jefferson called despotism and what in our time is called totalitarianism. And this can only be reversed by a concerted effort to cut government spending substantially at the federal and state levels. But that doesn't seem very likely. In the near future, every child may be wearing a little red scarf around his neck, and every adult will lead much worse than Thoreau's life of quiet desperation. He will be demoralized and fearful and silent, just as were the inhabitants of communist states in Europe, Asia, and Latin America. In communist Eastern Europe, the bars were full of deathly men drinking cheap liquor and watching flickering screens full of government propaganda and sports. with 20% of adults abusing drugs or alcohol, 80% overweight or obese, and near universal addiction to screen activity, America is going in the same direction. Under this despotism, it is difficult for the individual to live freely. And even if he lives a private life, silent and ostensibly compliant, his freedom will be curtailed and he will be labeled nonconformist, like the few remaining book lovers in Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. The rule of law and constitutional rights will have been swept away in the name of social necessity. As Justice Sandra Day O'Connor put it in justifying her vote allowing unconstitutional affirmative action programs, it will no longer be possible to speak, write, assemble, work, or invest in a free manner. There will be nowhere to hide. The entire world will fall under the control of despotism, and we will enter a long period, perhaps centuries or more, in which liberty will have been forgotten. Leftist media is determined to promote this enslavement, as when CNN rushes to list 20 false and misleading claims Trump made in his announcement speech, or when Rachel Maddow and MSNBC labels Arizona Republicans election deniers for defending strict voting rules, or when every leftist commentator labels claims of 2020 election fraud as false, without evidence of their having been false. And multiply this kind of reporting by 100,000 daily, include Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and other progressive media, and the power of the media becomes clear. The acquisition of Twitter by Elon Musk and the replacement of Disney CEO Bob Chapek with former CEO Bob Iger may be steps forward, but they're going to find that media wokeness is entrenched and difficult to control. Freedom means the condition of acting and thinking on your own without restriction or regimentation, but if the polls are any indication, a large percentage of Americans now have little idea of what that means. And the road back from serfdom involves defying the restrictions imposed on everyday behavior. Everything from asserting parental rights over education to supporting religious freedom with regard to abortion and LGBT matters to rejecting affirmative action and the climate change agenda. Freedom is the lodestar that must guide us in every decision of life. And it is, there is, you know, turbulence when you fly in that kind of air. But one step at a time, it may be possible to reclaim our freedom. And one thing you should remember is that there's never been a plane in flight that has been taken down by turbulence. Freedom is not comfortable, but it is what human beings ascend to. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Mexico's president says President Biden will visit the country in January. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador says Biden will visit Mexico City in early January as part of a North American Leaders Summit previously scheduled for December, which will include Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. American households are feeling the squeeze from rising prices. A Moody's Analytics report of October data shows the average household is spending $433 more a month to buy the same goods and services it did a year ago. That figure is down slightly from the $445 figure reported in September. Consumer prices jumped 7.5% in October from the year before. Qatar becomes the first host country to be eliminated from the World Cup after two games. USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Gun Owners News Hour. Anytime I see something regarding a rampage killing, that sort of makes me angry. It makes me angry there was nothing there in place to push this back. Now, this Walmart shooting that happened in Chesapeake, Virginia, which murdered six people, this was particularly nefarious, because this guy, what he did was he waited till everybody was there for a meeting that he was in charge of, and then once he got in there, when he told everybody it was going to be a light night, then he pulled out a gun and just started firing indiscriminately from left to right. And that in and of itself is nefarious. And what we should be doing, rather than pointing fingers, we can point fingers after we solve the issue. But we're doing nothing to solve the issue. Instead, we're just pointing fingers. The Democrat politicians from Joe Biden on down, who keep calling for some vague and undefined gun control legislation that is basically just, you know, it's just ether. There's no one magic law or rule that's going to get put in place where you're going to triumph over the nature of man. And unfortunately, sometimes in the nature of man, even a good man, and we don't know anything about this particular shooter yet that I'm aware of, that can change from good to bad. Especially with all the pressure on people nowadays. But they're out there right now talking about something that could have prevented this attack, which the only thing that would have prevented this attack would have been somebody else armed in that room. That's what would have mitigated it. It wouldn't have prevented it because there's no prevention for evil. Simple fact. Now, Virginia State Senator Louise Lucas, who's one of the top Democrats in the state legislature, she decided to get on MSNBC to blast state lawmakers for their supposed inaction on gun control, telling the host that we're going to have these kinds of mass shootings until lawmakers get serious about putting more gun control laws on the books. Specifically, She called out Republican lawmakers in Virginia for adjourning a special session in 2019 rather than debate a number of gun control bills after a shooting at the Virginia Beach Municipal Complex. But she neglected to mention what happened just a few months afterward. Virginia Democrats took complete control of the state government with majorities in both chambers of the legislature as well as the governor's office. So from January of 2020 until January of this year, Lucas and her fellow Democrats were in charge of Virginia, and they even approved a half dozen gun control measures during that time period, none of which obviously prevented this shooting. Now, if you can... you have to excuse me because of this. The stupidity astonishes me. The idea that you can slap a new law on the books and somehow magically that's, you know, some of these guys don't even know this is illegal. They don't know there's a law specifically addressing that you can't do. You know, like if they pass a law saying, well, it's illegal to go into a Walmart associates meeting and shoot the place up. They wouldn't know that. There's a breed of people out there who just follow the news ravenously. They take in and drink in everything, and they can quote chapter and verse some of these things that get passed much better than me, for example. But at the same time, these guys that are doing the rampage killings, I don't know exactly how much of a information junkie they may or may not be. So why didn't she and her colleagues put that magic law in place when they had the votes to do it? Well, because they... Well, I can give you a couple of conjectures here. One, they know it wouldn't work. There's just no way for that to happen. It's a pipe dream. The other is because it's not that important of a thing. Actually, death is good for the Democrats. My position. I'm sticking to it. Every time they do that, they have one more toehold on the mountain of disarming you that they can climb up, they feel like. Lucas went on to call out legislators for offering thoughts and prayers while failing to make a difference. But then she offered no specific policy that or new law that would have stopped this attack before it could begin. And as you could imagine, the MSNBC host like Al Sharpton never bothered to press Lucas on what exactly she believes would have prevented the shooting. And they, too, ignore the fact that Virginia Democrats had 2 years to address violent crime and mass shootings through gun control, but failed to enact any legislation that's had a meaningful impact. That's because gun control doesn't have any meaningful impact on crime. Gun control only has meaningful impact on the law-abiding. And once again, this sort of frosts me to a degree. They're sitting there trying to ban their way to safety and use gun control as a way to claim they're doing something to address violent crime while ignoring the crisis of their own creation in the criminal justice and mental health systems in the state. Things are so out of whack in the Commonwealth that even the Democratic mayor of Roanoke has spoken out publicly about the damage done by criminal justice reforms approved by Lucas and other Democrats that were signed into law by then-Governor Ralph Blackfaced Northam. While Democrats were getting soft on crime, they also did nothing to address their crumbling mental health system, which is so short on beds that individuals in crisis are routinely spending days waiting in ERs or stuck in a jail cell waiting for an inpatient bed to open up. At any given time, virtually every one of the state's 10 mental hospitals are nearing or exceeding patient capacity. Allison Land, who is the commissioner of the state's Department of Behavioral Health and Development Services, described current census levels as dangerously high in an April meeting, telling the agency's board that the number of patients combined with staffing shortfalls make working at the facilities tremendously unsafe. She told lawmakers then, there is simply no way for the state hospitals to continue along this trajectory. But amid the growing crisis, they are also vocally opposed to adding new psychiatric beds. When Central State Hospital is replaced in 2024, it will reopen with 25 fewer beds than it had originally. Lawmakers denied a 2019 request to add 56 new beds to Catawba State Hospital in Roanoke County. Only one facility in the last 5 years, Western State, has expanded their capacity. But those beds aren't currently open and won't be until the department can find workers to staff them. So, you know, problem number two. The idea supposedly is that the reduction in acute mental health care would be subsidized by greater access to preventative care across the state. But that hasn't really happened either. Instead, providers have been saddled with new bureaucratic requirements, including getting insurance pre-authorization for treatment that they say is causing a host of additional problems. So, they did pass a red flag law, so they can take somebody's guns away if a judge determines them to be a danger to themselves or others. And the red flag law doesn't require providing any sort of mental health treatment for the dangerous individual. They're still out there to go find a gun another way. And they also have access to sharp knives and rope and matches and gasoline or even black market guns. But think of all the money we're saving by not actually treating the underlying condition. So there is no law that will completely eradicate the threat of mass rampage shootings. It would be far more effective, practical, and constitutional than any gun control measure if they would only improve the lives of tens of thousands of Virginians who are struggling with their mental health. And it would maybe save lives as well. We'll find some things out about this guy as time goes on, about his background, what we think may have driven him to this or whatever. They need to quit. They need to forget about just simply doing something and maybe do something that would actually make a difference, which that means you got to go past banning your way to safety. You got to discard that and say, what's behind that? What's plan B, C, D, E, F, G? But they're not seeking that because it's never been about your public safety. It's simply about your public serfdom. It's the easiest thing to do. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Gun Owners News Hour. Murder City, USA, and I'm talking about Chicago, has long been recognized as America's largest open-air shooting range. Police are prohibited from chasing suspects along with politicians, prosecutors in courts that refuse to hold bad guys accountable. It's easy to see why the streets now belong to the criminals. And then we got to see this video, though, of this past week, and it shows just how bad things have become. In the video, an apparent gang member pulls a gun on another man leaving a convenience store. The Cadillac owner just paid a king's ransom for a few gallons of gas when the attacker approaches with a gun. And it looks like any other carjacking until the perp opens fire and chases down the car owner while shooting him over and over, and then a few more times for good measure. I have watched it a couple of times. This guy, on Twitter from the Chicago Contrarian is described as 100th and Michigan, straight up ambush and execution. Two gangs, murder is a form of fun. Gangs in Chicago will remain unbeaten until law and order prevails. Wire Points has covered the breakdown of Chicago's woke criminal system at length, and it's bad. And we get this, is six signposts of Chicago's progressive law and order breakdown. The six clear indications that progressive apologetics have undermined public safety, with the toxic effects most deeply felt in Chicago's black communities. Number one, police have effectively been banned from stop and frisk, foot chases, and car chases. Number two, it is open season on the police. A new state law mandates local police misconduct complaints can now be made anonymously. Police face growing violent hostility, including killings and attacks on police cars. As a result, police decide to depolice and to depart. District patrol manpower has shrunk in Chicago. Number three, the streets have been confiscated by miscreants. Chicago enjoys near record high carjackings, plus trigger-happy takeover crews who appropriate these city streets for stunt driving events, but rarely suffer any consequences. Number four, vehicle-borne armed robbery crews victimize pedestrians in organized sweeps, and catalytic converter thieves protected by gunmen make the rounds as well. Chicago's streets are increasingly dystopian. Number five, courts have surrendered. In Cook County, they've become a revolving door. Alleged criminals awaiting trial are freed on low cash or no cash bail, but at least 15,000 times since late 2017 have then been charged with new crimes. The number is dramatically lowballed for a myriad reasons. Here are just two. One is the vast extent of unreported crime nationally. Some 60% of non-murder violent victimizations are unreported, as are two-thirds of property crimes. Another is that for those few crimes that are reported, Chicago has a negligible arrest rate. Emergency response has been maimed. More than half of high-priority 911 calls languished without a timely response last year, and the problem continued this year as top Chicago Police Department supervisors now code out so-called backlogged 911 calls to hide the problem. And at such times and without a report of physical injury, officers may not show up to take a report. Viola, crime is down. It is defund the police without the defunding. And finally, we get the rhetoric is fierce and destructive. The Democratic Socialists of America Chicago chapter, representing six Chicago aldermen, calls Chicago police a white supremacist organization. A DSA alderman's aide refers to CBT officers as pigs and draws concerns from local residents who say they need protection. Local activists encourage looting. And Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle describes murders like that of hardworking hairdresser and mother of six, Tamiko Talbert, a black woman, as due to COVID plus historic disinvestment and marginalization. Official Chicago's progressive tropes on race are a doubling down of disinformation riven with the arrogance of unfettered power and callous indifference to wrenching daily tragedies in the city's black communities. Now, black Americans make up three-quarters of the victims of homicides and non-fatal shootings in Chicago. And these are the real victims of progressive politicians' defunding, decarceration, zero bail, and non-prosecution policy. But the city's mayor, Lori Lightfoot, saves her righteous indignation not for the 656 Chicago homicide victims that have been cut down under her watch, or the 2,692 people maimed in non-fatal shootings, but for the five dead in Colorado Springs. Chicagoans are increasingly on their own in a city with a feral criminal population. And the more they vote for politicians like those who put these policies in place, the more chance they stand of becoming their victims. And finally, I leave you with this, because sometimes, just sometimes, karma comes a knocking. Recently, a guy named Kevin Blow was murdered at 5:30 a.m. in Washington, D.C. by a man driving a stolen car who had an illegal gun as well. But then, that's the headline. So then once you get past the headline, what you find out is that this is a deceased social justice warrior. And on this particular night, in this particular case, he also ignored D.C.'s extensive gun control laws and was illegally carrying a gun, too. They found it next to his body. Meanwhile, the Washington Post, not wanting democracy to die in darkness, portrayed the convicted criminal, who was the social justice warrior, who was in the illegal possession of a firearm, as some sort of local folk hero. And we get this. In December, the 32-year-old infused his personal story into an esoteric D.C. council hearing on the topic, testifying that his travels through the criminal justice system put him in contact with people convicted on facts that were essentially identical, but were somehow charged differently. Now, Blow never got to see the results of his advocacy. He was fatally shot early Tuesday by a gunman who, according to police, emerged from a stolen car after a crash with Blow. Authorities said they believe Blow also possessed a weapon as they recovered a gun next to his body. So he was apparently slower on the draw. Hours after the shooting, the D.C. Council unanimously passed a bill about which Blow had testified. Patrice Sultan said, "It is very difficult to accept that someone who survived the worst of what we have to offer, sent off to the military, sent off to prison, couldn't survive living in the streets of D.C. He dedicated himself to preventing the exact kind of harm that befell him. He wasn't sent off to the military. He volunteered for the military." What the Post is too squeamish or politically correct to admit is that Kevin Blow died just as he lived, as a common criminal. The fact that he was clever enough to adopt the mantle of wokeness and lobby the city council to further decriminalize violent crimes in D.C. doesn't make him some sort of patron saint of civic virtue. He just was very successful at reinventing himself. Because the bill he lobbied the city council for reduced the maximum penalties for violent crimes like carjacking, burglary, and robbery. Also from the WAPO, the D.C. Council unanimously approved a major overhaul of the city's criminal code Tuesday, despite objections from Mayor Muriel Bowser and law enforcement leaders over certain aspects of the legislation. If Bowser signs the bill, it will eliminate most mandatory minimum sentences, allow for jury trials in almost all misdemeanor cases, and reduce the maximum penalties for offenses like burglary, carjacking, and robbery. It will not take effect for 3 years to give the courts, police, and other groups time to prepare for implementation. That's what the little darling who was carrying an illegal gun. And if he didn't go through the process, without knowing what he was in prison for, I'm going to simply presume that he was a criminal because he didn't go through the process of carrying a gun in D.C. Which, since he had became a darling and he was smart enough to know, well, okay, here's what I do. Instead of being a criminal on the streets, I'll be white collar. So he became a social justice warrior. And he lobbied for all of this nonsense. And he got it. He just didn't survive long enough to do it. And when he died, he put in place some things that are against everybody's self-interest. And in the meantime, you can look for more memorials of sainted criminal justice reform advocates. Because karma always finds its way to you. It's like water. It finds the point of least resistance and it works its way to you. Someday these voters will start voting their self-interest and replace the criminal cobbling politicians with those that go after law and order. That's just my guess. I'll be back next week. Stay awake, stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.